lessons. We're taking lessons on faithfulness. Minister's virtue or the Christian virtue. In 1 Corinthians 4, he says, let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Say, a man be found faithful. Lord, we thank you for this afternoon. We ask in our hearts that you will fill us with strength and might by your word. We will find grace in this atmosphere. We will find grace to walk, to increase in our walk of faithfulness, that virtue which is found in you, to be shed abroad in our hearts. We ask that we will find ourselves strengthening your walk, even as we walk with you among each other, as we strengthen your walk in the lives of one another. We ask that as a church, we will find that virtue shed abroad in everyone. We will be able to build with you what you're building, as we see what you're seeing, as we hear what you are saying. There will be grace in our hearts poured out to walk in it. Everyone will grow, will get better in faithfulness, that virtue which is available in us in your Son Jesus Christ. We ask this in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we said a requirement, a core course in leadership, a core course in ministry, which must have been received, which is already being developed, which is tested and ascertained in its grasp, who said, is the virtue of faithfulness in the one who should have oversight over others. Rearrange all the words I just spoke. You get the message. So we said yesterday that faithfulness to God is by being faithful to his cause amongst men. I've asked some people say things like, oh, my loyalty, which is another word for faithfulness. He says, my loyalty is not unto men. My loyalty is unto God. That's a stupid statement. Because men are the ones you are interacting with in that service of God. The word of God that you said you are loyal to was brought to you by men. And except you minister it also to men, your activity is not being useful to God. I'm not loyal to men. My loyalty is not to any man. A statement that looks very simple. It looks pious. The statement looks okay. This man is loyal to God. But when you look at scripture, you look at the counsel of God, you observe that God himself looks out for your loyalty, your faithfulness to people. Loyalty, therefore, is double-sided. Is two ways. Towards the one I am following, the one who leads me, and also faithfulness towards the one who I am leading. John 20, 17, 15, 17. Feed the flock. Feed my sheep. Feed my flock. Feed my sheep. Is an instruction on faithfulness. Lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. The word love, which is the word aheb in the Hebrew,
It is used in Deuteronomy chapter 6 to love the Lord thy God, verse 5 and 6. He says, with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul. Matthew 22. Are we together? To love the Lord thy God with your soul, with your mind, with your heart. That word love is what is translated faith in the New Testament books. And it's then similar to how they use the word love, which is an unfettered, unfeigned, unconditional affection. So an unconditional affection toward God, what we will call faithfulness towards God, what we will call loyalty toward God, commitment toward the Lord, unconditional affection. Wake that brother up. Unconditional affection toward the Lord, he says, is seen in your faithfulness to the flock. Feed the flock. Are we together? In 1 Peter chapter 5, look at the text. 1 Peter 5. Peter again used a number of words in his admonition to the leaders in the church. If we summarize all that Peter said in a single word, Peter was teaching faithfulness. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and then verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort whom are also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre. The word askroskedis came across this world about 16 years ago. Askroskedis, filthy lucre. That is material gain, vain gain. It's used for material things. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So faithfulness is something that is in the heart. Faithfulness, when it's there, is just in the heart. The guy is just faithful. Oh, the brother is just faithful. It's in the heart. Inasmuch as we said that it can be developed, the unfaithful can learn to be faithful with time and training. Proper training. The unfaithful can learn to be faithful. But you see, the issue of faithfulness is just something of the heart. It's just something of the heart. It's just something of the heart. Faithfulness is just in that. It is of a ready mind. It says in verse 3, neither has been lost over God's heritage, but being an example, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that faded not away. Why did he say that faded not away? Because he had already made use of filthy lucre. That which fades away. Again, that fades away. He now says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory. Again, that fades not away. In other words, in ministry, if you are not careful, your attention can be set on gain that fades away. Gain that fades away. Two things. But there is a gain that does not fade away. And the one that gives that gain, that reward, is the chief shepherd. That's one. Two, the Lord therefore rewards faithfulness. So we said that yesterday, that the Lord rewards faithfulness. And one of the immediate rewards of faithfulness is increase. So you see that parable of the merchants A man, it's a master who calls his servants. He calls three of his servants and he gives to them talents. The parable of the talent. He gives to one 5 talents, gives to one 3, gives to another 1. Actually, the text was careful, and when I mention things like that, you go back and read them. As long as someone in the week on how to read the Bible. How to read the Bible. I was talking to someone on how to read the Bible in church. I was here, part of the morning meetings I have, and what I was explaining to the person is how to read the Bible. And the person is a leader. I'm explaining how to read the Bible. This is how to read the Bible. And I was sharing some things with them. So, are we there? As we read through, if you read that parable carefully, you will observe that the Bible actually said, Jesus said that the talent that was given to them was according to their capacity. Most likely the one with 5 started with 1. Are we there? That's just part of my meditations. Most likely, is that there we were? Most likely the one with 3 began the same way the one with 1 started. He was given something. He must have turned 1 into 2. The same way he turned 5 into 10. Because later on we now observe that he now had how many? 11. Because he takes from the one who was unfruitful and dishonest, he gives to him. It was a parable of faithfulness. Because Jesus ended that parable by saying that he that is faithful in little, he didn't say shall be faithful in much. He says is faithful. Go and read that parable and meditate on it. And he that is unfaithful with little is unfaithful with much. He must have started with 1 or 2 or 3 and gradually walked his way. Are we together? Walked his way into being qualified to receive 5. So he had built capacity. Is it clear, church? He had built what? Capacity. Yet he was still being trained for more capacity by giving him 5, expecting him to turn it to more, which later became 10. But by handing 5 over to him, he is still being trained to build capacity. Let me tell you something. Capacity training doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. The one that has great capacity is yet taught and trained for greater capacity. Capacity doesn't stop. So he was being trained. Definitely the 5 was given to him because he had built capacity. The handling of 5 to him was to further build his capacity. The 5 was given to him because he has built capacity for it. The one that 3 was given to had built capacity for 3. 3 was given him. He will not give you more than you have demonstrated capacity for. Are you with me? He will not. I gave you a lesson yesterday about 2 people. That had I given money to them, and had they turned out the way I explained, I now told you to be the judge of who I should commit more resources to if I am to be seen or perceived as a wise investor. And you all told me what I should have done and what I shouldn't have done. And I agreed. Are we together, church? So the one with 3 was given 3 because he had built what? He has built what? Capacity for 3. And the 3 he was given was also to build his capacity for more. So I spoke to us yesterday about opportunities. I spoke to us about opportunities. That, look at this. The same opportunity that I have to develop my capacity for more is the same opportunity that I have to ruin my capacity. The same opportunity that I have to grow in the virtue of faithfulness is usually opportunities, are we together, chances or temptations to actually become unfaithful. So it shows you, and this is where I want to put it, that temptations to be unfaithful also carries with them the opportunity to develop your faithfulness. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? Scenarios, events, circumstances Some say, sir, I cannot take this anymore. I've had enough. This is too stressful. I can't take it anymore. Those scenarios is also an opportunity to grow in your capacity. I've learned that in business, for example. And those who work with me in business, seen that. She works with me in business, she sees that firsthand almost every day. That sometimes events or scenarios present themselves to you that you feel like quitting and say, I'm not doing it again. You also find in those moments there's an opportunity to expand, to be enlarged, to accommodate those issues. Look at me. How do we gain the wisdom and experience to counsel others how to last in storms, if not that we have passed through storms? But it is not the passing through storms that gives us the wisdom in training others to last through storms. It is coming out of the storms faithfully, staying through the storm. Tell your neighbor, say, stay through the storm. You observe that. If you're a deep thinker, I was saying someone yesterday, I said, you are not a deep thinker. You don't analyze. If you're a deep thinker, you would have observed that with life. That oftentimes, the same scenarios that tends to hit hope usually contain in them capacity to enlarge and to make you stronger. Some people come out of those scenarios bittered and embittered. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about rightly handling those scenarios. Ezekiel, church. So, the one who had five, very simple.
The one who had five now definitely was given the five because that was his capacity. And he proved the master right. Turned it to 10. He had gained 10 more when the master arrived. Are you with me? So don't forget that in ministry, lives are God's investment. So we take, what have I done? I must have given him five because he has the capacity to walk with five. Now, when you are walking with people, if you walk with people, you know what I'm talking about. You need capacity to walk with five people. They see things differently. They have different conduct, different habits, different mode of thinking, different breaking points. Different people have different breaking points. The amount of pressure you can take before you just, yeah, I'm not coming again, I'm not coming to that church again. Different. So it takes capacity to work with how many people? Five people. Some people don't have capacity to work with one person. You can already see it in their marriage. One of the things that ministry builds in you, are we together? Is that capacity. You already see in the this brother does not have capacity. This sister doesn't have capacity. When you are always quarreling with people, many times, are you listening to me? The issue is not with the person you are quarreling with. You don't have capacity. Are you with me? Are you there with me? Is this place too hot? If it's too hot, let's open this. Whatever. It means the AC is not doing its work. Are we together? How much has this standing in? Or there's this fan that blows breeze. Will it work here? Might not work. This fan that blows mist, have it? Eh? You have not seen. Where did he? I've been in him for depression. I was in the fact that blows breeze on people. You have not seen it. You have not seen it. I must take you out. Let's go on. Do you call that window shopping? Is that what you call it? Do you window shop? You don't window shop. You just stay in holiness. Don't let me go and lie to a seller that I want to buy. Oh, window shop. Praise God. Thank you. Are we here? The issue is what?
The issue is capacity.
When you are always what? When you are always what? Boring. Are we having workers training? When you are always what? The issue is what? You don't have capacity. It's a test of your capacity. Interestingly, that means that scenario that happened that you quarreled was an opportunity to develop what? Capacity. I don't know if you are getting me. Am I with a different set of people today? Maybe I should have turned away from the road when I was. Am I with the right people this afternoon? All right.
Or maybe I should have turned away from Beckardings, and maybe our churches is going to cover it. Am I with the right people? Are you listening to me? When you are always quarreling, in strife,
do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?
Oh, you don't have capacity. If you had the capacity, you don't have to say, do you know who I am? The way you handle the situation, they will go and browse about you.
So when you are always envious, in strife, angry, fighting and being fought, you are always hating and being hated. You don't have what? You don't have what? You don't have what? You don't have depth. You are shallow. Tell your neighbor, say, are you shallow? Tell your neighbor, say, are you a shallow person? You are shallow. Boy, shallow. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? Now, if you do business on the waters, those who collect fares on waterways make more money when they walk along deep waters. Because on shallow waters, first of all, no serious animal lives in shallow waters. Animals that stay in shallow waters are animals that don't live in the waters. They just need water, they just then go back. Real expensive creatures that when you catch, bring you money, are in what? Deep waters. So people will pay you and say, we want to come and fish. So you say, hey, the kind of fishes here are not the ones you will sit at the shore with one hook and then you pull. This is not a jarro that is here. We have, how many of you know the fish called martin, the blue martin? You know the blue martin? Good. Those fishes, in fact, those fishes are so fierce that sharks are scared of those fishes. Am I telling you the truth? Sharks. You wonder how I know, right? Sharks are so, they are scared of the blue martins. If you have like 4 or 5 sharks in a congregation, maybe swimming or trying to target a prey, the moment the blue martin appears, and it has something that looks like this, what's it called, ivory, a horn, very by the two sides of the cheek like this, very unique, what's it called, fish. The moment it shows its head like this, the sharks are gone. They would disappear. You won't see them again. Sharks are dangerous animals. Sharks are actually, I don't want to call them the king of the ocean. Dangerous animals, sharks. With that jagged teeth, they don't play according to rules. Rules care. Sharks. Don't meet the sharks. Sharks. Including the baby sharks. They are terrible. Wickedness is wild in them. Yes. Sharks. But when the shark sees the blue martin, so when you want to fish, they'll tell you, hey, you have to pay certain amounts because we are the one keeping this water, it's deep waters. They also collect money from the vessels, the kind of vessels that passes that waterway. The larger the vessel, the more the deepness of the water that it should pass. Large vessels on the oceans
don't pass shallow waters. Sometimes the vessel is so large, they don't even get to the port. It is in the deep waters that they will stay. We have gotten to our bus stop. They will stay there. Smaller vessels will now come and collect to bring them to the shore or shallow waters. Are we there? So when you don't have depth, we can't get expensive results from you. Valuable results. Valuable results. Valuable results. Capacity. Ability to bear something for long. Capacity. Ability to stick there. To stick with something till the expected fruits are brought forth. Capacity. And people vary with capacity. Are we together? You vary with capacity. I was talking to someone among you, I think about 2 weeks ago or so, in the evening. We were talking about business. And then the person was talking to me about some funds and money and all that. And I now mentioned somebody that I knew. So by the time I explained the person to the person, so she was like, and we're talking about money. Why can't you talk to this person for a huge sum of investment? And I said, no. But not just because, and I'll give a reason why I'm not talking to that person yet. I'm not talking to that person. I even now made mention of something that I felt he was shocked. I said, I actually don't need a particular amount. Because I was telling myself, I was evaluating my own self on my capacity. So I said, hey, that amount, I don't need that figure for a particular business. And I said, by the time I access this particular one and I use it, I want to use that figure to build capacity for the next one. So even though I had access to that massive, I said, no, I don't want it. I don't want to get into trouble. Let me build my own capacity. Because capacity can be built. Capacity. In managing resources. If we make you a pastor of 50, in 6 months, you will be left with 2.5. Because you don't have the capacity. You don't have the capacity. Do you have the ability to stay in prayer for 50 people sufficiently to drive power in the place of prayer to keep 50 productive? Do you have the capacity to keep 10 productive? How many hours will you spend in prayer that would drive power to keep 10 productive? How will you present issues? What kind of decisions will you make? What kind of conversations will you stir up? How will you undo difficult moments? How are you going to undo objectives of a 10-man team that in a year two, the 10 are still with you on the team and has not become you alone? Capacity. The opportunities and the scenarios that helps in capacity development are presented in the moment where you are tried. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? See, that is the blessedness
of uncomfortable moments. The blessedness of uncomfortable times, the blessedness of not too good times, is that when you handle them well, are we together? You have built capacity, a resource that is not found in any other moment. It's not found in any other moment. See some people, you say, if you get married with this thing that I am seeing, see, I give you 2-3 years, you will divorce. You will fight. If we don't have seen, I give you 2-3 years. Capacity. Ability to forgive. Ability to be patient. See, ability to outlast the other person in your patience. I will outlast you. Ability to forgive. Ability to believe the best about the other person. To keep believing the best. Any small thing, you are suspicious. Suspicious, suspecting, and being suspected. You are a shallow person. And when you want to cover it up, I know that's who you are, a shallow person. So in the same scenarios that presents us with that, you know, that same scenario that you feel that I can't do this again. Let me push out. The more you feel that pressure to break it now is to tell you the greatness of the capacity that handling that situation rightly will build in you. Faithfulness. So the answer to it is to be faithful. It is how more capacity is built. Faithfulness is how the greater capacity is developed in us. So the one that was given 5 was definitely because he had been observed to be able to handle 5. So he was given 5 according to his own capacity. According to his ability. And that also is a training for more. So we say, oh, sister so and so, please assist sister this, pastor this, brother this, in that cell. Be the deacon there. Be the cell assisting hand or function there. Then suddenly, you just discover that all the new workers in the cell are liking you and are disliking the cell leader. You are a foolish person. A foolish person. A very foolish person. Suddenly, we just go by the people we are told to say, brother, this, go and pastor the church at. Go and pastor the church at. We are now. Then by that you get there, you just say, I can see in this church that this is what
we are used to. You have been used to starting meetings with prayer. Things have gotten here. Right from now on, we will start our meetings with Holy Ghost meetings. So we'll have Holy Ghost meetings. And after the Holy Ghost meetings, we will now pray. So people now begin to like you. You now begin to give every member of the church what? They are giving them what? They are giving them prophecy. I just saw some months ago, more than a year now, someone came to tell me that that person giving me word, so he was coming to me to get clarity about it. Then before I responded, the other person now came and said, in this church that somebody gave him a word, and then how do I act on it, sir? And I was asked, like, the same person that is giving them the word. Are you confused? Is that what we do here? We don't do that here. We don't give people word here. If you want to give people word, go to the psychiatric hospital. God give them word. Not in the assembly here. In word you're showing you. What we have been teaching for the past 6 months, oh yeah, tell us, Koma. And you are giving word about, if I catch you, the word you're showing here. And you too that they are giving words to. You too that they are giving words to. It's a nerdy nerdy. You want to call them a word, bro? So it's not a long time. Eh? Then he told me that. Before he tells you that you will perish. That's unfaithfulness. Are we together? See, the one to whom we have committed oversight does not do anything to make himself liked. I didn't say he will consistently do things that will make people to hate him. That one is another issue. Say, don't like me. Just like the pastor, don't like me. I want you to hate me. No. Because that would be bad representation. Are we together, church? Faithfulness. So we said, it is to adhere to what we discussed. What did the Lord tell you? What did he instruct you at the start to stick with it? To stick with it? Faithfulness? Are you with me? To do what? To stick with it. So we said, in the work of the ministry, faithfulness is how we receive more. You now know why? Because it helps us to develop capacity, which makes laying hold on more to be easy. Are we together? Growth in ministry, I said yesterday, is by total dedication to the ministry. Total what? Brotolu, total what? Aha. It seems like you are sleepy. Romelody, total what? Dedication. But Stephen, total what? Dedication. What's the opposite of total dedication? Half what? Mindedness. Say, I'm not half minded. Don't just say it minute. Say, I'm not half minded. Yeah. Half minded. Total dedication. Total dedication. Total dedication. Total dedication. Total dedication.
told you that the one who is called a steward, what is steward in his what? Is boldly written what? On him. As a result of his dedication. Capacity. I told you yesterday that when you are struggling with have now, don't have later, have later, don't have now, you should check what? Check what? Check the faithfulness level. If faithfulness was like oil, you must ensure it is always what? Full. Top. You always top it up. That is part of the things that your morning devotion does to you. It helps you to top up the oil of what? Faithfulness. You top it up. That is what workers meeting, workers saying like this does to you. It top it up. Cell meetings, top it up. Monday prayer meetings, top it up. Friday prayer meetings, top it up. Outreach and follow up, top it up. Meetings, top it up. Interaction and sessions, top it up. Personal prayer times, top it up. Top it. Top. Faithfulness. So ministry growth is by total dedication. Obviously, not just to prayer, but to the ministry activities. We've observed how we have been faithful over the years to our Sunday meetings. We have not changed our meetings. The way we held our meeting this morning is the way we started holding it in 2017. There have been different reasons, different whatever. There was a time when the workers in the church went low till maybe around 4 or so. Around 4 or 5. We moved from around 10, 12 or 15. Just went down to around 3 or 4. Didn't change it. Around 16, just went down to around 3 or 4. Because everybody that graduated that year just said that, hey, we're leaving. Everybody left that graduated that year. Everybody left. Workers that are trained since 2017. Everybody left. I didn't stop. And I'm not stopping. There's a point you get to in ministry that you say, hey, I'm going. Who will go with me? There's another point you get to say, I'm gone. If you are with me, follow. That's the state I am. I'm going. If you are with me, follow. If I look back, I don't see you. You are not with me. See? Others will join. So the leaving was not because maybe we treated them badly. No. I've never treated anyone badly in our church. I've never. I've not done anything today that I've not been doing. I only see the need for it more clearly, and I find out how to do it better. Simple. I've taught the same things. What I taught this morning, if you listen to the reality of Christianity, is it there? That's the reality of salvation? The reality of Christianity? This is one thing forever. You are saying now we are back to take a whole 2-3 months to explain maybe one statement made in the teaching. The reality of injury of spirit, that way we are teaching the spirit, is the same thing. So I don't need anybody that we send out today to start a work in Ibadan or Lagos State or Ogun or anywhere. You say, I don't need anyone to tell me that, hey, it is because I've been teaching the same thing that there's no growth. Who do you want to tell? I have gotten an experience of that. In fact, that is what brings true growth. Any leader that is not consistent in his persuasion over a period of years
is not worthy of followership. The same thing. Faith in the gospel, we are back to it. We started then. And let me tell you, all the things you can trace down to 2017 preceded 2017. I've taught that since 2012, 2013. And like some of the people that when I'm teaching, some of the people that come around, some of those boys that you see come around, they come from 2009, 2010, and they come around and they sit with us even in our camp meetings, and they're observing that this man is teaching the same thing. Yes, it's the same thing, the same thing. We turn 2 to 4, we turn 4 to 8, we turn 8 to 16. Are we together? We are hitting 50 in this group by June, to hit 100 in this same group by December. Are we together? Then December, that 100 will now plant it to produce the same things with greater capacity. Don't change what works. Only develop yourself in it. So, ministry activities, you are faithful in them. Ministry activities, you are faithful. Monday, is prayer meeting again. Yes. It's not just prayer meeting. In fact, you already know what we are praying. Before you join the workforce, you already knew what we'll be praying. I mean, you already know what we'll be praying. Is it bringing us fruits? Do you think we are growing? Getting better? The only way to answer that, just look at your own self and answer it. If you are growing and getting better, ministry activities, faithfulness, stay with it. You have mastered that one a long time ago. Stay with it. I don't just stay with methods, I also stay with people. I also stay with what? People. Is it clear? I stay with people. Why? God stays with people. After what David did to Uriah, are we together? And Bathsheba, God still did what? Stayed with him. Who left who? Did God leave Saul or Saul left God? Simple. God was. Even after he had disobeyed, if God was not interested in the reconciliation of Saul after disobedience, by coming back after the war that he was told to go and kill the Philistines and wipe the Philistines and kill all the animals and all that, if God was not after reconciling him to obedience, God would not tell Samuel. God saw what he did, everything he did. God now came and tell Samuel that this guy did not obey us. This guy did not do what we told him. He didn't do what we told him. Then Samuel went to meet him. So God still sent Samuel there. He knew Samuel would go. When Samuel went, he still proved disobedient. I'm proud. Are we together? Stay with people. Stay with people. Grow with them. Grow with them. Abraham will still go and bring who back? They still went to bring him back. Two times.
The guy go Warsaw, still brought him back. The first, he goes to Chedorlaomer, fight the battle with the kings, restored Lot. The second one, he knew he couldn't go. He set up prayer watch. And his prayer was effectual. When you hear the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, avail much. It's not from Jabez or Jacob. It's not from Jabez or Jacob. That text was taken from Elijah and Abraham. Because it was a prayer to ensure things become right. Elijah. So you see in verse 16, Elijah was a man of like passion. But we also see Abraham, who prayed. Abraham kept on praying. Obviously, why was Sodom destroyed? Sodom was destroyed because of Abraham. It was not because of Abraham. Not because Abraham destroyed it. But you observe, by the time you observe that supplication between God and Abraham, you observe that the moment he asked God, he said, killed your righteous with the whatever with it. And then, obviously, God gave him that access. And then, he would say, if you find 50 righteous people, will you say, God says, if I find 50. If you find 30, if you find 20, and all that. So, the reason why Sodom was then destroyed, because God couldn't find the last number that Abraham prayed. That was why it was destroyed. Because the prayer was that you would preserve Sodom if you find. If he had gone lower, God would have preserved Sodom. So, because it shows that for God to have said, for him to have told God, if you find 50, will you preserve? And God said yes. Then he came down again. He came down again. He said, if you find this, will you preserve? God said yes. Then he came down again. If you find this, will you preserve? God said yes. It shows that Abraham's prayer was showing us the willingness of God to save. So when it comes to salvation, God's long suffering and willingness is to save. But Abraham was not willing to press further. Abraham wasn't willing to press further. If Abraham had gone into, if you find three, or a single family, or two righteous men in that land, will you preserve the land? God would have said yes. The land would have been preserved. But he paused. Yet God couldn't find what was discussed in prayer. But God then restores Lot through the hand of the angel. Apparently, you already see Lot's wife. So you can't even count them with the number. So even if he had said five, because Lot will not have how many sons? Three daughters. Are we together? Who were now married to three men, right? Right? So he said no. So Lot's wife would not even have come. Even as they have five, Lot's wife would not have come. Are we together? So faithfulness is to stick with. To stick with something. To stick with a people. To stick with methods. To stick with. So go on, I'll give us current day examples, real life issues. So I can't be praying and be in strife. That is not total dedication. I cannot be praying and be backbiting. Look at me. The moment you find yourself always wanting to start conversations about somebody else's fault, you are an unfaithful person. Anytime you find yourself itching to quickly talk about how somebody or others have wronged you, you are itching to mention it. You are an unfaithful person. I'm not saying when people wrong you, you do not mention it. I'm not saying when people are done wrong, you keep quiet.
I've not said when people have done what is not right toward you or around you, you keep it as a secret. I've not said that. I said if you find yourself not able to contain, you always want to, you are always tempted to, you feel the drive, the pull to mention what somebody did that is not fine with you, or how somebody did it, you are an unfaithful person. You can't grow. You cannot have increase. When we mention things that others have done wrong, it must always be in a bid to reconcile. Maybe you are hurt and you feel you need a brother who will help you to reconcile with that fellow, of course. And to see, you even observe the pattern Jesus gave. He says, go to that person first. Go to that person. This practice of going to tell somebody what somebody did against you, are we together? Is a sign that you are an unfaithful person. What do you do first? Go towards the person. Go to the person. Because that is a sign that you want reconciliation. If someone comes to me and says, so and so person said something and did something, and I just ask, I say, have you had this conversation with him? And no, but you are not faithful person. So you will now receive rebuke from me. Because at that moment, I am not dealing with the issue. I am dealing with your heart. Which is more important. Most likely, if you have not had that kind of heart, there will not be as much fuel as you have poured on it. So I can't even listen to your side of the story. Because you have already presented the heart of an unfaithful person. Have you mentioned it to him? Then, what did he say? What did she say? Or maybe you are mentioning it now because there have been that issue over. And that's fine. This is a reoccurrence of what we have dealt with. It's fine. In other words, the person I'm dealing with is not somebody that listens. Okay, that's fine. Bring it up. But you didn't mention it. You just go. No. That is being an unfaithful person. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? And any time you walk in unfaithfulness, because any time you walk in faithfulness, you demonstrate capacity for more. You train yourself for more. Any time you yield to unfaithfulness, you are sowing more seeds of unfaithfulness in your heart. You are demonstrating capacity for unfaithfulness and unreliability. We cannot rely on you. Is it clear, church? And look at me. Look at me, everybody. If you find anyone amongst you like that, a brother to a brother, a brother to a sister to a brother, the moment that person talks to you, just know that that person is what? Unreliable. The moment the person brings it to you, just know that that person, it's not a reliable person. You don't have to tell him you're reliable. Just say, ah, okay, Motibo, we'll do something about it. As it's going, just be looking at it like this. It's an unreliable person. Because there is a way to. Is it clear? Observe, I'm not saying to bring up issues with you is wrong. No. No. Because many times we need the third party for reconciliation to be properly done. Exactly when the person is proving Adamic.
Are we together?
The person is proving stony,
adamant, rather.
Are we there? So it's simple. There is an issue. You go and meet what? The fellow. See, that's a sign that you want reconciliation. But now you have said nothing about it to the fellow. You are not even sure that that was his intention. He said, no, I know that intention. I remember as I was walking like this, he was just looking at me like this. You were looking at his eyes. Even as I passed, he just whispered about me. It was a whisper. Yes, you had your name. Oh, you can hear your name in people's whispers. Yet you don't know God's counsel about you. God's counsel, God that is in your own heart. That's unfaithful. Look at me. You must develop the capacity, whereas you usually put to end, you put an end to the flame of gossip. Let it end with you. In the local assembly, it must what? End with you. Because you decided that you classified it that this is a gossip, and to end with you. Or when it got to you, you were wise enough to know what to what, what to do, how to handle it. Develop that capacity. Look at me, everybody. Develop that capacity that when something gets to you that is a problem, it usually ends with you, because you have the wisdom to know what next to do to resolve the issue. That is a minister of God. I'm not a channel for wahala. See, what I'm telling you, I have done that in the circle of my friends for the past 11 years. There are some things that some of my friends have told me, and I'm telling myself that till I enter the soil, it stays with me. It stays with me. And some of them, the moment I get it, I say, okay, alright, this is what we're going to do. Let's do this, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. 2 months, 3 months. And all of a sudden you observe that it's not me and the person who are friends. I also have 2-3 other people. But no matter, you can't, we will talk about our own. I will now drag that one into a, no. Except that person says I should mention it, or mentions it. Even when anything happens and there is a fallout and we are no more friends, I will not use a privilege once enjoyed, the privilege of access to your secrets and informations once enjoyed, even though we are no more close, I will never use a privilege once enjoyed to hurt you. It simply means that now that we are no more close, that means you and I can't even open that whatever again. But I and someone else will not open it. It died. And I have many of that. So one of the ways it simply helps me is that I'm able to use wisdom to handle things from those experiences. But the events will never leave my mind. But that we have wisdom. Like a friend of mine said, Lorenzo, we grew up together. He said that you are dealing with the habit of gossip,
Yet you are praying that God should open nations with you. You want to leak strong secrets. Where you are now, there is not, your lips are not short. You know, Mama, when it is not yet cooked and it is dry, that's how dry your lips are, and they are not closed. You know, I'm saying that, you know, you can't close, Mama, you can't hold two of those skins together. They are dry and each one is like this on its own. So you can't completely shut it. So your lips, your two lips are like distinct plates of Mama that are dried. So there is no amount of holding it, it can't balance. So something will still leak out. Yet you are praying that nations will open. Which nations? Which useless nations will open? You are still dealing with anger. Yes, you are praying that nations will open. So that you can use anger. Your anger is still destroying two relationships. You get angry. So, you go and ruin a friend in the face of another friend. You are still dealing with that one. You are praying for nations to open up. So you can use anger to destroy two countries. If Pastor Adeboye was having anger issues, you know what would have happened in this nation? We have to save you that detail. You know what would have happened in this nation? See, that man is one of the wisest pastors in the world currently. And I don't approve his doctrine. And I will not approve his doctrine. They are off in that area. When it comes to wisdom, ability to solve difficult situations. When you see a man in his camp meeting, and there are like 50 obas, 50 obas of Ijebu land, all of them, they are seated in the forefront, just so that the man is a wise man. Just so that the man is a wise man. Wisdom. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. So, now that it's gotten to me, alright, let's do this and this and this. End the flip. Have faith. And you are faithful with information. A pastor or a leader, you are privileged to have information about a disciple, a member. And then you just come and you are announcing that information. Ah! I saw someone with his social media craze. He had gotten to get people saved, but he's somewhere in the north. One of the states in the north. He now took a selfie. He now put it on Facebook. Good outreach. Maybe like 10 or 11 or something just got saved. Jesus is Lord. You are an idiot. God can never open the Islamic nations to you. Social media madness. You took the pictures of Muslims that got saved in that environment on Facebook. Oh my God, I wonder who his pastor is. No training. Then you are praying for nations to be open. Which nations? So you can kill everybody. I know a particular minister of the gospel in Nigeria. They hold crusades everywhere. There is no week that they don't hold crusades. There are some nations of the world that they go to hold crusades. They don't have live stream. They don't allow camera. Yet that ministry is as though if they breathe like this, they will put it on camera. They are still smart enough. Not put those ones on camera. Because it will ruin the nation. How do you say that you and those nations, you can't go there until you have met the presidency and all of that? And as you have met them, they will give you warning. You can't do this here. 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 They will give you warnings. Islamic nation, you can't do this here, you can't do this here, you can't do this here, just preach and go.
Don't do this here, don't do this here. This, we don't want to see a picture online. Then one of those meetings, he was able to even get the prime minister saved. Then imagine you just put it on here. Hello everyone, even your prime minister is saved. They will go assassinate him. And he will shut down his ministry in that nation. Faithfulness. Are we there? Faithfulness with information, with privileges. Faithfulness with privileges. Privileges usually comes with access. Faithfulness with it. You have access to information because you are now a cell leader. You are now a pastor. There are some information you have access to. Sometimes you observe that the information that will go to all, it first of all gets to you. Or you found yourself in a community where information first of all land there before it now goes out because of your responsibility. You'll be faithful with it. You'll be faithful with it. One of the rules of knowing how to handle information is this. Was this information shared outside this group? If it is not, that means you are not the one that should share it. Except you are told. Pastor say, I'll be taking a ministry trip on Thursday. Then you have to tell yourself, Pastor will not be around on Thursday. That's the only thing. But you move. Say, brother so and so and sister so and so are getting married. Then we share it with the leaders. Say, let's pray about it. Let's do this. Then just go and call. But I didn't. You just go to hell. You and your information and your lips, so that big mama that looked like an uncooked. Uncooked, mama, in Yipata market. Can't you see that? Brother Sam and Sister Kunlebele is looking at themselves somehow. I think they are together. Tell me. Say, does Pastor know? What's your problem? Is that why you are in church? People cannot get into relationship in peace. They must come and tell you. Let's draw an office for you. Let's open an office for you. And it's not that you have any wisdom to offer them. Are we together? Fit you with information. Faithful with information also knows where information should go to. When you have reports to make, that is, you are reporting something. I'm not saying you are giving reports of your meetings or activities. I mean, you want to report an event or an account, or report an observation. Faithfulness is also knowing where it should go to. You just say, hello guys, hello everyone, can you hear me? I don't know if that's why we have structures in church. Talk to yourself, leader. Talk to yourself, leader. They are wise. Talk to yourself, leader. Talk to your pastor. Very soon we have pastors in church that all the cells, multiple cells, will be attached to. So I can deal with greater matters. All the issues will be attached to. They are wise, they are smart, they are intelligent. Talk to them. You observe that, brothers and sisters, I don't think pastor approves of this. There are people to talk to. Is your leader that will not say, this and this. And your leader observes that it's inappropriate. Okay, no problem. Thanks for observing.
Don't worry. Don't talk about it again. I'll handle it. Someone collect money from somebody and it's causing issues. Remember in a church like that? I was there. Someone collect money from somebody and it became issues. Then that one just came on a Sunday, pick mic. Ever me kill him? I'm not joking. I'm not joking. As that one is, as though this already knows what the other person wants to say. Because the one that was kill him is also in the church. They collect their money at this business. Ever me kill him? That one already knew. That one just went there and then they were struggling with Mike. You will say it, you will not say it. Interestingly, their kids were in the church. All of us were looking at you, what was happening? And it's not tongues and damnation. Hey, Mama, Miki, Abu Yakini go, that one just collect mine. They were drinking, at the close of service. Thank God she was wise enough to make it at the close of service. Know who to report to. Faithfulness with privileges, with access, with information, with authority, faithfulness with resources. Resources. Sister so and so is late. Please, let's save this money in bank. You say, there's public holiday on Friday. Then we could not save it. On Monday. Okay, can we save it? Excuse me. Motina. Sell money offering. You have spent sell offering. You say, I just took. You just took what? Did you not took off? What you know? You spent sell offering. Because we told you to take it to the bank. Yeah, you see. Say, I just spent. I removed my transport from it.
Faithfulness with resources. Faithfulness with resources. Faithfulness with privileges. I told you yesterday, when you are sent on a mission, look at this. When you are sent on a mission, look at me. You must carry an image in your mind that you are that person in that locality, in the lesser office. You are that person in the locality, in the lesser office. Lesser office is you recognizing you are a man under authority. You are that person is in your single-mindedness on the vision. That is faithfulness. The faithful man, the faithful minister, does not convert resources to themselves or their own. Faithful with people. You have a disciple that is well to do. Don't use that person to increase your account number. Sorry, wallet. Account balance. You have a disciple that have resources. Don't tell a disciple, I don't want to eat though. Go and find it. How? The ministry you are learning here, the one who is feeding with the word is even feeding with the natural too. Yes, we know it is the responsibility of the one who is taught to care for the one who said, communicate to him in all good things, material things. But you also understand that if you are learning the work of ministry from me, that the moment I observe that the one I am teaching and training does not have, I look for and I give. Because when the person has, the person will extend out of honor. They say, I'm coming to your place. I'm on my way to your place now. What do you have in your house? You are just a only in the name of Jesus. You are not using God, you are using the name of Jesus. What you are doing is not different.
Don't do it.
That is an abuse of privilege.
When I call us together here and I'm saying, how much is your account? I don't do it outside here.
Maybe some of you think that, it's what Pastor does. I don't do it outside here.
I do it in the midst of the whole congregation. And I don't even do it in service. You observe when I do it? Because those people have refused to pay for what?
Registration fee for camp meetings. I think I've only done that maybe 2 times or 3 times.
When I want people to give towards one another, or when I want to collect money from the one who has refused to give for a meeting that everybody is paying for, registering for. And usually you observe that when I collect, what I collect is maybe around that 1 over 4, 1 over 5, 1 over 8, 2 over 10 of what the person is supposed to be, because we will still have to give to the person. So how are we going to put together 20K for you, together for your accommodation, meal, transportation to camp meeting, to camp ground? We are putting 20K together for you and you are eating, and we have told you about the meeting for the past 2 months and you couldn't even raise 1K. When you get up that day, we'll collect it. And you cannot smart me. I know some of you now transfer your money away the next view of camp meeting. Now we are not going.
You can't smart me. You can't smart me. You won't know. Experience me. You won't know. Praise God. But I don't do it outside that moment, oh. I don't do it. Yes, yeah. Pastor has given me hint. Wisdom. So you go and greet your disciple. You have not, you know, do you know you have not given to me in the last 6 months? You are not working in honor. Don't do that. That's an abuse.
When you teach and train the fellow, when he or she has, they will give in honor. If you observe that the person has and the person is still not giving you, don't mind. Take your eyes away from the person's resources. Take your eyes away. Let your concern only be that, I'm not sure this person is really, really getting it. And faithfully continue your teaching. Don't start teaching giving even at that time. Don't exhort on giving. Don't take your eyes away from the person's resources. Anybody who has eyes in another person's resources is just an arm robber in training.
Is an arm robber in training.
It is God and the law that is keeping him in check. If there was no law and he has gone, he will go for it.
He's not different from a robber. He only does not yet have gone, and there is a law against it. Is it clear?
If you take away the law of the land, of the government, and you give him gone, there is no difference between him and Anini.
You know Anini? You don't know Anini? You will know. Praise God. Are we together, church? So you will not know Anini. You will not know Anini. Anini is a terrible person. You don't want to know him. Praise God. I say praise God. That is what faithfulness. That's it. As they are looking at me, see, I have never ever called somebody in church and say, what's in your hand? Bring it. I've never done it. That I instruct you and I said, how will I even do it? My mind is doing. If I pick my phone, it will burn my hand. My just be. I have never done it. They say, we have a low and send up. Send one there. No. Are we together? Are we together? Sometimes I ask people, I say, do you have something on you? Because I want to give it to someone, or I want to use it for something in church. And if the person says he doesn't have, maybe I thought the person has, and I was like, who can meet this need? Hey, what's up? We have this need, though. Are you able to help? Could you be alone? And if the person says no, then so be it. I do not say, but you're supposed to have. And I say, but you are making money. No. And then start saying, so how have you been spending your time? Like, oh, hey. That one is no more pastoring. Is it clear? I know some men of God, oh, that anytime they need money, just say, brother, don't go. Send it this one. Into the account. No, I don't do that. I have never, ever done it before in my life. And I will never do it. Because it will feel like I am asking Jesus, send it! No. So when there is true need, people will be willing to give. People know when they are being abused. People know. Are you with me? In fact, let me say this to you now. Let me say this to you now. As a pastor, you are... See, as a pastor, the truth is, take it from me, you are not the most intelligent person in your church. Stop it! You're not. And even outside the local assembly, you are a leader somewhere. You are not usually leader because you are the most intelligent. There's probably something else that puts you there. You are just one amongst equals. Is it clear? People know when they are being defrauded. People know. See, many times, including the ones that say, throw 50,000 if you want God to bless you, they know. They are just greedy also. So their greed overcomes their sense of understanding that this is fraud. They know.
Faithfulness with what? With privileges. Privileges. Faithfulness with privileges. I begin to close. Faithfulness with privileges. Privilege. You are sent to a distant place. Do exactly what you are told. Don't start saying, hey,
Pastor, a snake just appears that had the head of a lion, and he told me that he's the lion of the tribe of Judah that conquered the snake. Pastor, it was one that told me that he has called me. That there's a calling on my head before I joined church, sir. And that the cell that you told me to start is actually him sending me through you. Whoa. You are saying, Joye. Hey, Joye. Who will kill and cut his neck? See, that's what some people do. Are we together? Are people like that? They will wait for the structures you have put in place to mature things. Just, I see someone like that. The person was sent to go and pastor a particular church, and he changed the name of the church. Yes. It's not only money people steal. He stole the whole member. He stole the member of the church. He changed the name of the church. He changed the name of the church. Changed the slogan. He changed the account number. Everything. Including the assistant pastor was his own. The assistant pastor now became the assistant general pastor. The question is, do you think they will grow? They can add number, but they are not growing. Because God will not expand what He did not start. Okay, what is the vision?
Faithfulness with privileges. Faithfulness with privileges. Let's look at one or two things and we'll close this afternoon. You cannot be praying and be acting contrary to your prayers. We have been praying for growth. We've been praying for increase. You cannot be praying and you are selfish. Be faithful with your own resources. Your own resources. You are earning money. The church cannot even feel that your earning has increased. You are an unfaithful person. When your earning increases, your giving increases. Your reliability increases. Dependability, ability to depend on you, also increases. It also increases. Your resources of time, be faithful with it. Be faithful with your own resources. Part of serving God with our life and time and our young age is out of faithfulness to Him. If He saved me early, I should preach the gospel early. Be faithful. That was why I corrected some weeks ago that you are someone in the hospital and folks will not visit. You cannot grow that way. I told you yesterday that faithfulness is how we grow. So I told you to do the faithfulness check. Do the faithfulness check. Be faithful. You're a leader, a worker in church, is celebrating the birthday. Be there. Now, we know we have a structure around cells, units, members, workers and all. But many times, see, you know that you have a jurisdiction to show up somewhere. You are just unfruitful. Is it? The hospital. Is it? Is a member of the church in the hospital. It's okay that someone wasn't there because the person is not a cell member, maybe the person does not know. Are we together? With a church that has, you know, increasing membership like us, it's not all the old church that will know that someone is in the hospital. Except, of course, there's a need to. Maybe the situation is so serious, we need people to really give. But it's possible that a member of the cell is in the hospital or in a situation and another member of the cell does not know because it's not his cell member. But you're the cell leader there, it means you will know. And sometimes, because you are not the cell leader, you might not know. But you observe that. Now, in a case where the two, you're a leader over the cell leader that knows, and the cell leader that doesn't know, because you're a leader there over the two, then you know you should be around. You should be around. For example, you have someone in any assisting function in ourselves. Is having a bad day and you are a cell leader, you should be there whether it's your cell or not. You should be there. Or a leader in a unit or in the unit is celebrating something, and then you know you should be there because faithfulness is something in the heart. Be there. We cannot grow that way. Because at the root of it is strife. You are envious. Of what?
Why do you think that what another has belongs to you? Because that is the root of envy. The root of envy is competition. Because you feel that a resource is scarce and another that has it has something that belongs to you. Why do you think that way? Why do you think that the position, the authority, the responsibility that was given to that sister is your responsibility? Why do you think that way? We saw you and we never called you to it. Most likely you were not around, or you are not demonstrating the capacity for it. Or maybe you were around for one reason or the other, except you don't trust your leadership, that they are led by the Spirit. So sometimes when you are in strife with another, you are actually insulting your pastor. Because you are showing that maybe he's not led. He's not led. I'm supposed to be the one. I'm supposed to be the one. Who told you? Who told you God wanted you to do that particular one? Who told you that God doesn't have somewhere else for you to fit in within the church? Who told you that it is not on the pastor's mind? Who told you that the pastor does not have another responsibility for you to undertake that is unique? Who told you? Faithfulness. We must be helpers of one another's joy. Faithfulness. Who told you? You're in strife because you feel that a resource belongs to you. Who told you it belongs to you? Who told you? When you came into church, did we tell you this belongs to you? Why are you suddenly become proud? You came in, you were innocent. When you came in and joined the workforce, you wanted to serve. You wanted to just serve God. You wanted to be a blessing. You wanted to stand in the church. Now you are seated in a corner, expecting us to bring you, to come pay homage. You are proud. And God will not bless you. Because he doesn't bless pride. He receives the proud. Who told you? Did we have an agreement? Did we have an agreement that that responsibility was yours? Who told you? Who told you? Who told you? Who told you? Did God tell you? Say, I'm faithful. Say, I remain faithful. Say, I remain faithful. Say, I remain faithful. Faithful with privileges. When you are faithful, you will receive increase. Many times, the pastor is one who ensures that. Obviously, under the leading of the Spirit. Under the leading of the Spirit. We said you should care for a sick member of the church. Let this person care for a sick member of the church. You did not know that what the pastor was doing is to give you a task that when you pass, you can lead a cell somewhere. Maybe that is the test. That is the task. So you take with levity the sick brother that was put under your watch. We made someone else the cell leader. Then you're like, but I am the one. If you were the one, you would have shown us by caring for the sick brother. You will not take care of a cell any more than you have taken care of a sick brother. You will not. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. So he says, let them be proven. Let them be proven. Why am I not an assistant cell leader now? Yes, because you mismanage resources. So we give you the time. Then the second year you mismanage, no problem. Then the third year you mismanage, no problem. Then the eighth year you mismanage. And the one that has been in the church for 3 years is assisting in the cell. You've been around for 8 years. We don't call you for anything special. We don't even call you to run any natural errand for the church. We don't tell you, this person is working in the church, please wait on him. Ensure this is done, we'll be back. We don't call you, please can you join this person to go to the market? We want to acquire this for the church. We don't call you. We don't call you. We don't call you. We don't call you. Yes. Because you have failed the test. And I'm not saying you must now start doing everything to please the pastor. No. Just be good. Just be the student of God's word. Just love the Lord. Just act on the word. Just be faithful. Because different opportunities, if there are different opportunities, then the different qualifying parameters is also differ. The qualifying parameters also differ. Why have I not been called to do this? Check the instructions we gave you. The one who is faithful with what? With the little. Is faithful with what? With the great. The one who is faithful with the little. When we are faithful, God promotes us. He promotes us by giving us more responsibility. So if you ever feel stress, look at me, everybody. If you ever feel stress in ministry because of the responsibility, it is God's promotion. Because God gives us more. Coming with the more is more grace, more reward. More grace, more grace, more grace, more grace. Faithfulness in responsibilities. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Glory to God forevermore. So no strife. Until we say check that fellow, you do nothing. Until we say visit that fellow, you do nothing. Until we say give to that fellow, share with that fellow, check up that fellow, you do nothing. Those who grow know it's by complete dedication for a very long time. So I stay with it, that's faithfulness. I'm 100% dedicated, that's faithfulness. I am consistent, that's faithfulness. Till the goal is reached. Quickly. Faithfulness with the little is faithfulness with the large. So you find David with the sheep, his sheep. Then you find David with the sheep, God's sheep. David with his sheep, then David with Israel. Because look at this as I'm about to close. God uses faithfulness with our own natural work many times to train us and to judge our faithfulness with his own work. I'll say that again. God will use many times faithfulness with our own natural works many times to train us and to judge our faithfulness with his own work. So when I manage my work well, I will manage God's work well also. When I manage my work well, tell your neighbor, say, manage your work well. Unfaithfulness with the natural will lead to unfaithfulness with the supernatural. So look at this. When you see people who change jobs every now and then, they can never be faithful with God's work. You find people
out of unfaithfulness change jobs. I don't like this again. I don't like that again. You find people who change relationships anyhow. They cannot be faithful with the work of God. They change relationships. What about those who change churches? Is the same. Change pastors is the same. Change responsibilities. You are going to be unfaithful in God's work if that is who you are, if that is what you do. That is why a pastor who is interested in helping you to be faithful with God's work will many times make you to stay on the same thing in the natural for long. For long. It will make you to stay with a relationship for long. Pastor, I don't like this relationship again. I want to change. No, you cannot. You cannot. I told someone some time ago, I said, if you come out of this relationship, you are not going to get into another relationship in a year or two under my watch. And left the church. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. It's good that he left the church. Such a person will cause more havoc if you had handed sins over to him. He left the church. It's fine. Your pastor can make you to stay on the job. Pastor, I want to leave this job. Stay with it. There are some of you like that that I've told. You don't know why. I am training you how to be faithful. It doesn't mean you will still not leave the job later. But this incessant switch. Sometimes they say, this person is not paying attention. I say, go back to the person. I'm looking for another business. Go stay with that business. Don't change it. Stay with it. Stay with it. And some of you have walked up to me and said, oh, I feel like switching my job. I've said, just go ahead. Because for such a person, I do not see that the person is unfaithful. In fact, I have seen traits of faithfulness over time. I said, go ahead, change it. Because your switch of the job is in a bid to be better, spiritually better, naturally. So sometimes I ask, okay, this is the parameter you must look out for. The person, I'm already looking out for that parameter. Fine. Your pastor trains you to be faithful many times by getting you to remain with that natural thing for long. When you see people who change jobs, change businesses, especially in the world of internet, every now and then you have found something else in internet, you have found nothing in internet, you have found nothing. That person is having a serious trait of unfaithfulness. It is a foolish pastor that will not see it, a blind one. And when the person becomes your responsibility to mature that person, you begin to administer training of stay with it. Because God uses the natural to train us for the spiritual. David would never have known that his experiences with the flock would be useful in God training him to pastor Israel. And Eliab never knew that the perception and the handling of his father's flock was used to disqualify him. So for the sake of your effectiveness with God's work, with God's plan, we tell you to stick with that relationship. Stick with that job. Stick with that career. Take the exam. Take those papers. Don't drop any. You are being taught to be faithful. Take the next batch. Go over the course again. Pay for another one. Repeat that training. Go back to that place of work. Send that report again. Send that CV again. Go and apologize. Return to that accommodation. It's a training of being faithful. Sometimes you don't know, and then you rebel at it. When you rebel at instructions, it shows us, in fact, it's very fine. It's very fine. The moment we instruct something and you disobey or you do otherwise, then we begin to look at, why did you do otherwise? Is there a reason? When we find out that, there's a reason, all right, you were wrong, you were right, I was wrong, it's okay. When we find out that there's no reason, then why did you just do the way you find? I just feel like, okay, well, since you did this, you're going to do this. The moment you rebel at that correction, it's fine. It's just to show how serious the issue is with you. It means the issue is not disobedience, or the issue is not seeing things in different perspectives. The issue is a rebellious heart. Then we deal with rebellious heart. The moment something else springs forth, then we deal with that again. See, we are here. That is a local assembly. But I don't want it that way. The doors are open. The doors are open. The doors are open. You can take the bold step. Are we together, church? Here is a training ground. And faithfulness, Paul says, is required. Psalm 78, pray for me. In Psalm 78, are we together, church? I'll continue again in our workers' fellowship, workers' training later this month. In Psalm 78, the subject of faithfulness must be detailedly discussed. Because even after exhausting my thought that I have in my notes in this series of meetings, I will still have more to say on faithfulness. I just itemized a few things in my thoughts. In verse 72, Psalm 78, look at what David said. 78 verse 72, he says, verse 70. I want us all to read together slowly and clearly. Psalm 78, verse 72. Let's read from verse 70. One to go. He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. Verse 72. Fed according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. By the integrity of his heart, the skillfulness of his hands has to do with experience. David had experience. You see in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and then verse 20. 1 Samuel 17 and then in verse 20 into 22. Look at what he says. He says, and David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. 21. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper. Of the carriage, so he leaves the sheep in the hand of a keeper. Excuse me, I'm coming back. Can you see to this activity? And ran into the army, came and saluted his brethren. As he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine, and spake according to the same words and David had him. And all the men of Israel, when they had saw the man, fled from him, and were so afraid. The men of Israel said, have you seen this man that is come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killed him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. You see, he leaves the sheep in the hand of a carrier. He ensures the responsibility is well cared for behind him. And observe, he was coming back, so he wasn't abandoning the sheep in the hands of a keeper. It was not a permanent absence. Are we together? So he says to today, David is known for his faithfulness in his shepherdhood. David is known as that shepherd that stays with the flock. So God will be described after him in John chapter 10. The one who lays his life down for his sheep refers not to Elijah. The one who lays his life down for the sheep refers not to Moses. John 10:11. The good shepherd that laid his life down for the sheep does not refer to the prophet, does not refer to Abraham, doesn't even talk about Joshua. He talks about David. Because faithfulness is God's character. Faithfulness is what? Faithfulness is what? Faithfulness is what? So a minister of the gospel, a growing believer, must put on this boldly. A faithful Christian, a faithful brother, a faithful sister, a faithful pastor, a faithful associate, a faithful cell leader, a faithful assistant, a faithful coordinator, a faithful pastor, pastor in charge of media, faithful. Pastor in charge of protocol. Pastor doesn't say, you were the one that dishonored me last week. I will not allow you to see the pastor. I will not allow you. No. He is faithful. Faithfulness is to put the vision first. Faithfulness is to put the flock first. Faithfulness is to put first whom you are serving. Faithfulness is to put the Lord first in your affairs. A faithful disciple. Faithfulness means to be accountable for your actions. I close with that. To give consistent updates about happenings in around your life concerning the work that is in your hands. Faithfulness is that you are accountable on matters that affect the work directly or indirectly. Faithfulness. Faithfulness means in whatever areas will affect the work in your hands, positively or negatively, you report it. You report it. That is faithfulness. Pastor, how soon do I report things? How soon do I get a table with issues that impacts ministry, that impacts my devotion, that impacts my service in the church? This issue that impacts, whether positive or negatively, it has an impact on my cell leadership, my assistant himself, over having people in church. It has an impact on the disciple. It has an impact on giving of pledges. It has an impact on my walk with God. It has an impact on my focus in my own health. It has an impact. Whatever areas will have effects positively or negatively on the walk in your end, you report it. Pastor, how soon? As soon as it occurs to you. How soon? As soon as you sense it. Told you a while ago that accountability is something that is in your heart. Something that is in your heart. How often am I accountable, sir? As often as possible. As often as necessary. How much of my life and affairs should I be accountable for? Bad question. As much as you should. You can never be over accountable. You can only be unfaithful. With plans, accountable. With actions, accountable. With intentions, accountable. With motives, accountable. Even with your errors, you are accountable. With your successes, you are accountable. With your mistakes, be accountable. With your challenges, be accountable. Do not cover your sins. With your decisions, be accountable. With your choices, be accountable. With outcomes, be accountable. With possibilities, be accountable. With resources, be accountable. With losses, be accountable. How can you be accountable about the loss of a disciple when you are not accountable about your own life, including your losses? Be accountable. Be accountable. Your gains, be accountable. Your successes, be accountable. Your possibilities, be accountable. How much of my life and affairs should I be accountable with? As much as you should. How do I know what I should account for? Accountability in your hands. You will know. You will know. You will know. It is something that is in your heart. Accounting for it is faithfulness. And not to be accountable is unfaithfulness. So, if faithfulness is the breath of the ministry, how faithful are you, church? Again, God's word has come to us. How faithful. In a year of growth and growing and increase, in a year of planting and supernatural harvest, in a season of more of orderliness, in a season of growth and increase, in a season of supernatural ministry, in a season of supernatural harvest, it is important that we have supernatural intelligence. Your accountability, your faithfulness, your commitment, 100% dedication, total devotion, is your orderliness. That is our spiritual sense. That is our spirit sense. Are we together, church? How faithful are you? With resources. With resources. With resources. How faithful are you? When you are told to disciple people, don't start dating them. How faithful are you? When you are giving money, don't spend it for your own self. How faithful are you? When you are sent out, you were told people should live in your house. Don't start using them for house chores. I don't do those things. I don't. I have never done it. We told people to stay in your house, provide accommodation. I've always said, if you have a disciple living with you, the person should be useful. Because the person will also learn from you. The person will take instructions. The person will share house chores with you. The person can go on errands that you have multiple. The person can share errands with you. And that is completely fine. It's a natural part of ministry where training can also be excelled. But there's a thin line. There's a thin line that you can cross when you are not smart and you are greedy. The person now begins to wash your clothes. The person now begins to do your laundry. The person now begins to wash your shoes, wash your canvas, the canvas that you used to step on the mud. The person will now carry brush and be scrubbing your jeans. Your jeans. Your jeans. The person is now doing the cooking. Cooking. Not only will the person cook, the person will go to market to buy stuffs. Go to market to buy stuffs. Come to the house. Maybe fetch water. Cook the food. Interestingly, to show you that you are a failure in making, the money spent was the person's money. Oh, yeah, where are you learning that from? Spend their money to go to the market, to get resources, to cook for you, to serve you. Ah! And you are eating it. You are eating curses. Be a leader. Leaders don't demand honor and respect. They command it by the examples they lead. Be a leader. Do things that will make God multiply your disciples. Is it clear? Is it clear? Do things that will make God to multiply the resources in your hands. Handle things in such a way that even the Lord can see. Are we together? Are we together? Handle things in such a way that the Lord can see the need for you to have more because of the impact you have had with the leader. Obviously, a positive impact. Don't be like that leader. You wash your clothes, shine your shoes, clean the room, wash the room, wash everything. Send the person on errand. You want to buy pure water, you send the person on errand in the sun to go and get pure water for you. To get pure water for you. If it was not that you guys met in church, if you have known the person in school, will you send the person a message? If not that the person has met you in church,
If not that, it is, if not for church that made you the person's leader, do you think that you can see the person on the road and greet the person and the person will even answer? Does the person not pass by people on the road and they greet and the person does not answer? Because you are the leader. It's just a privilege. No abuse. No abuse. Share the chores. Let it be that the person you are busy, then the out of responsibility, the person joins you too. Have we together, church? Be the leader. Be an example. Be faithful. The Lord is watching you in your room, in your houses, in your place of work. The Lord is watching how you treat your staffs. How you treat your staffs, the Lord is watching it. How you treat your staffs. Some of our staffs are other people's means of livelihood. Don't have their salaries and withhold it. Don't carry your member, your staff salary and put it in mutual funds when it's already time to pay them. Where it is. For interest, for a week, you delay salary for one more week because you have put their money in treasury bills or mutual funds for some 4 days so they can give you a percentage. Where it is. When it's already due, pay the salary. When it is being delayed, have the conversation. This is that, this and this and this and this and this. And all that. Be faithful. Look at what is in your hand. Think about what to do to make it increase. If I do this, will this increase? If I do this, will it be stronger? If I do this, will it be more effective? If I do this, will it multiply? If I handle this way, will it increase? Handle your time that way. Handle your resources that way. Handle relationships that way. If I do this, will it increase? When you borrow money and you can't get it, don't wait for the person to ask. By the time it's due, start the conversation again. Concerning this. Now the person has asked, you are beefing the person. Is he? How much did he borrow me? That you are an unfaithful person. Don't say how much did he borrow you. If he borrowed you 10,000 when all he had was 20,000, he has given you 1 million naira when he had 2 million. He has given you money. See, by the time you start making serious money, are you listening to me? Let me tell you, by the time you start making money in days to come, a lot of money, or you are making money now, or you start making money in days to come, the effect of somebody's giving, the impact of what he gave on you around that time, are we together? Today is the quantity. If in 2010 I gave you 10,000 naira, the worth of that 10,000 naira today is what I gave you then, because I gave it to you when you needed it. Somebody you are testing, dying of thirst. So testing, your throat is dry. You are really weary. You are seeing double. Then somebody gave you a sachet water that is getting iced already. You know that water? Gave to you. And you drank it and it quenched your thirst. The following day as you are walking by, maybe you didn't have money. You begged for it and they gave you. If they are not giving you, you will be weak and tired and weary and maybe hot. The following day when you are showing up, let's say you now have 2 million naira with you. Let me tell you something. If you can afford to give 1 million naira away without feeling it, it is still not the worth of the water we gave you yesterday. We gave you that water at a point where you could not do without it. So many times the good done you yesterday, you can't really fully say thank you. You can only be grateful. How much did he give? How much did he give? That's why we can never see. We can't really repair our parents. We can't really repair. You have to look at those times. We were 5, we were 4. At that time, how were they able to? Just have to be grateful. Are we together, church? Be faithful. If I handle this thing this way, will it grow? Will it be stronger? Will it go round? Will others benefit? Will it yield more? Will it be stronger? Will it grow? Will it be enlarged? Will it serve more? Will it reproduce? If I use this money this way, will it reproduce? Will it reproduce? So be faithful in your businesses.
Be faithful with it. Be faithful with it. Some of you, your unfaithfulness in previous days has been the reason why you can't build it to a point where somebody can massively, trustfully put something inside. Because you have failed the faithfulness test. Be faithful. So the virtue of faithfulness, that's why we call it a virtue. The virtue is like the light that is put in the glass. It lit the glass all around. So faithfulness is like that light, that globe, that light that is inside you, the globe. It is seen everywhere. In your academics, in your relationships. And don't forget what I said, we can grow in it. Is it clear? Is it clear? I think the beautiful thing about it is that we can grow in it. We can get better at it. As we desire to get better, as we pray, as we receive God's word, as we work at it. As we desire to get better, as we pray, as we receive God's word, as we work at it. As we desire to get better, as we pray, as we receive God's word, as we work at it, we will see that virtue feeding us more. Be faithful. Be faithful with everything happening around you now, and you will not have reason to complain anymore, because the Lord will bring the increase. Have you been blessed this afternoon? Let's just say a word of prayer for ourselves again. Let's pray for ourselves over what we have had. That in this season, we will have grace by the Spirit of God. Let's pray that we will have grace to walk in faithfulness. And as we are hearing, God's word is able to impact our hearts and to expose areas of our lives where we ought to adjust. That areas of our lives where we ought to adjust are open. And in places where we have been unfaithful, that we're going to have the wisdom of God's Spirit and the help of God's Spirit and the grace of God's Spirit to adjust and to do well in those areas. In our natural lives, now we have seen this afternoon that God will use the natural part of our lives to train us for the spiritual. Just like He used David's affair with his flock to train him for his work with Israel. He will. Oftentimes what happens is that God takes a natural trait. He now puts His Spirit on it to serve His supernatural mission. When that natural trait is missing, we are stranded. God oftentimes takes a natural trait that He is helping us to develop in our natural lives. He takes that natural trait and He puts His Spirit in it. He puts His grace upon it. That natural trait that we are faithful to nurture, to receive, to develop, to watch, to keep watch over. He takes that natural trait. He puts His Spirit upon it to be useful for His own work. We receive His grace in this new week, in this month, in the rest of this year. We receive grace and all the resources that we have need for. We receive that we will be faithful in His work, in His mission. With His church, we'll be faithful with our leaders. Faithfulness means to do your best. As a leader, do your best. As a leader in every capacity, do your best. What is your best? What is your best? Is this 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 your best? I am faithful. I am faithful. Hallelujah.